All right. Here we go. It's the BroPod with Scott and Todd. God damn it! You have me saying it wrong every time now.
You said it right.
The Bro... No, I didn't. I mean, eventually. The BroPod with Scott and Todd coming to you live November 6th?
Yes.
2017, yeah. And what the hell's going on? You sound great.
I'm a little sick, so my voice might drop out from hoarseness. It's gotten better. I took some medicine, so should be in good shape.
Did you take some Ludens? Because that's really the only thing that solves problems.
Ludens? No, I didn't take any Ludens.
Okay, so you didn't eat candy. That's good. That's
no.
A positive thing. Okay, so let's jump right into it. I did not see this past week's Saturday Night Live, which was hosted by Larry David, but
did you
because
read
you had it down
it?
Here as, no, because you had it down here as a topic, I found the monologue on YouTube,
yeah,
and I watched it. And I also read an article about it, which it is what it is. But before I give you my thoughts on this, I wanted to know, first of all, did you watch the whole episode, or you just saw the monologue?
I saw stuff on Twitter about it, so I watched,
so watched
it to see like what the big deal was. Right. And it was a little off color, I have to admit. And I mean, the bigger offense wasn't that funny.
That's what I was surprised by. I mean, first of all, Larry David was in fact a stand-up comic back in the day, but
apparently he's
wasn't
been doing
like
stand-up
a...
recently too. Like
right. I'd heard that as well.
So.
Probably to gear up for the Saturday Night Live thing. But he was never like a true get up there and, you know, joke, punchline, joke, or set up, punchline. He was, you know,
that's
kind of in the
bag.
Same vein. Yeah, kind of in the same vein as, what's the comedian's name? Andy, the man on the moon.
Oh.
Jim Carrey did the movie.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can't
or even
name.
Jim Carrey. I can't think of it either. That's terribly embarrassing. But even Jim Carrey did, who did the movie about him back when Jim Carrey started as a stand-up. He did crazy shit. I've seen documentaries.
Too?
Jim Carrey did stand-up. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
And he would get up on stage at the Comedy Store in L.A. and they had a piano up on stage. And it was either Comedy Store or Laugh Factory. It doesn't matter. But he would crawl on the piano and like underneath the piano, and he'd just crawl on the stage and he'd get up and he'd go out and he'd say like, I was a roach, like that was, and it was a bit that was several minutes of him just crawling around the stage.
That sounds
just
terrible.
Really
just
yeah
being
really
a weirdo.
Bizarre you know, material, if you will. Anyway, I don't think Larry David was quite that much of a, you know, that different from everyone else, but I just never saw him as a setup punchline kind of guy. So I agree. The whole, it was a 7 minute plus monologue, was a little stilted. It didn't flow as well as some other comedians. For example, I'm sure you didn't because you don't watch the show, but, what's his name? I'm going to mispronounce his name. Kamel Nanjiani.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Was the host the previous week or the week before even. And he, the guy from The Big Sick, and he, to the best of my knowledge, also not a stand-up, but he actually did a really good job. I thought his material was good.
I think he does stand-up. I mean,
but that's not his background.
Yeah.
He's more of an actor or even an improv guy because he was on Daily Show and stuff like that, more so than he is a stand-up comedian. I mean, stand-up comedians who just do that would feel comfortable if they're doing 3 minutes or an hour of pure, you know, stand-up, give me a mic kind of thing. So, but Larry definitely was not in that mode. But getting more to, it's kind of your second point, I guess, the joke itself, and for those who didn't see it, the premise of the joke was Larry was saying even if he was in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany, he would still have those natural instincts to look across the camp at the ladies' bunks and say, hey, you know, like he would still be attracted to women.
He would check out girls.
Yeah. And, you know, he went through what his pickup line might be and this, that, and the other. And it was interesting because the crowd was clearly uncomfortable.
Yeah,
much in the same way
they were sort of laughing, but you could tell people were like, what are
right.
you doing?
And it also followed on after, you know, about 2 minutes of him doing, like, Jew comedy. And by that, I just mean talking about how he's Jewish and, you know, different things that Jews do, and oy vey, schmaltz, or something is what he said,
Yeah, it was a little
right before
like
he's...
that was a little hacky too, I thought.
Yeah, that was quite hacky, but
It's interesting because some of
first...
that stuff I think works better in his show than
Yeah.
it does in stand up, because you're like, I mean, because the sort of outrageousness of the premise of Curb Your Enthusiasm, it'll hold
Right.
it up better. Plus, he has other people like playing off of him, being like, "You're being an asshole," but when he's just talking by himself,
Right.
he just sounds like an asshole. The audience isn't there to like give him feedback and make it more funny.
Yeah, definitely true. But so here are my thoughts as a fellow comedian. Here are my thoughts. I was waiting for your reaction there. Here are my thoughts on that, just the whole idea of being able to tell these jokes. Like, let's say he'd made a 9/11 joke in that same stand-up, right? In New York City.
Yeah,
That was
not a good idea.
16, yeah, not a good idea. So that was 16 years ago. Obviously, the Holocaust, we're talking 70 plus years ago. Like, you know, is it fair that in the world of comedy and stand-up comedy specifically, that there are certain subjects that are so taboo you just can't joke about them? I mean, let's
I mean,
dissect it.
I don't think that's, to me, that's not the problem. If it
Okay.
just wasn't original enough where it was like funny, because you just made you think about like, oh, this is what happened to those people. This is
But see, I
terrible. There
disagree.
wasn't it
I
wasn't
don't.
unique enough where I was like, oh, I could see the levity in that situation. It was just like,
See, I don't think
eh.
originality was or uniqueness was the issue. I think it was unique because so many people, 99% of comedians, do not do Holocaust humor.
Yeah, but
It's
I mean,
not the
I
top of
guess
their list of
my
things to write
point was
about.
the joke, what the only it wasn't funny even if it like wasn't in the Holocaust, you know what I mean? And I know that was sort of the premise, but that didn't make it
Right.
funnier, it just made it worse. Like the
And that's the point I was going to
joke was
make.
mediocre to
It's
begin with. It wouldn't have been
right.
it didn't get
Originality wasn't
better.
the issue. It was actually extremely unique and extremely rare that someone do a joke about the Holocaust. The problem was it just wasn't that funny.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's
But
funny, you can forgive a lot of other things.
sure. So, but to your point, your second, well, we can talk about that in a second, but the public dissection, we'll get to that in a minute. But in terms of the reaction of the crowd, again, if you're not going to laugh because it's not funny, then don't laugh. But there were some people that were like, "Oh," as if he shouldn't even have broached that topic. And that
Yeah,
I
I
don't
think
agree
that's a
with.
common thing though, like especially in New York, where you get start to get jeers more and like negative reaction if people
Right.
don't like
Well,
it.
but that New York comedy clubs versus the SNL live studio audience are two different things.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
I
New York
think just in
comedy
general
clubs.
people are more like they're not afraid to share their dissatisfaction in New York as opposed to
Sure.
like other places around the country.
But again, I think the problem I had with it, again, it wasn't that funny of a joke. Like, I was watching it today in my office and I wasn't really laughing at that joke. There were other things he did that were funny. The problem I had with it is people were giving that reaction before he even got to the punchline. They were clearly just giving that reaction because they knew the topic that he was talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with that. You should be able to talk about anything, no matter how uncomfortable it is, and not have the audience immediately, you know, jump ship on you just because you're talking about that particular subject. And that was.
That's fair enough. I mean, like you say, I think 9/11 and the Holocaust, like you better bring like fucking A plus game if you're gonna go down that path,
Yeah,
because
exactly.
you have a 99% chance of failure, and that was like a C plus joke at best.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, shame on Lorne Michaels and the other writers of the show. I'm sure Larry wrote that monologue, but he certainly ran it
Yeah,
for them.
I was wondering,
And they
like
should
there
have
was a lot of
said,
feedback, like why didn't Saturday Night Live like shut this down? And I was
"Oh,
wondering,
really?"
like I saw that in some discussion online, but I was wondering how much he had like, because he's an improviser in general, so I was wondering
Yeah.
how much of that he had scripted out, or if he just kind of freeballed it when he got on air. I mean, it is a live show. He
It
could,
is,
he
but
might have
again,
just, yeah, who knows?
for timing purposes, I know that they run through those things. And to
For
your point,
sure.
you said he'd been doing, you know, some live stand up, presumably in New York City or even LA, it doesn't matter. I'm sure he had gone through that 7-minute set on stage multiple times
You would
in
think.
anticipation of the performance. So he must have, I mean, so to that end, he must have gotten some positive reactions somewhere to for him to not cut it early on. And for it to, I mean, it was actually, it was the closing joke. Like, that was his closing
Yeah,
joke.
like that's the
And then
big
he
laugh in
uncomfortably
the
said, "Okay, so Miley Cyrus here,"
end.
which I'm sure was fun, probably the funniest thing he had to say that night, is be excited about Miley
Yeah,
Cyrus being the musical guest on the show he's
I'm
hosting.
sure he
But
could give two shits about Miley Cyrus. I mean, my
if
other
he even knew
thing
who she
before,
was.
like talking about the other thing I had listed was like, I don't know, is he just like being a 70-year-old comedian? Like, is he just too out of touch? You know what I mean? Like, he's been rich for 20 or 30 years.
I mean, it's
Like,
an interesting point.
it's
I
talking
don't.
about someone our dad's age, like dating or trying to pick up girls, just seems weird. I mean, he doesn't feel
Right.
super old to me when I look at him, but
Right.
he's older. I mean, he's of a slightly different generation than I would suspect most people that are watching Saturday Night
Yes,
Live probably
he's from the
skew a little
greatest
younger than
generation,
that. The
so.
greatest generation, not quite.
Or no, the kids are the
So
greatest generation.
I mean, I kind of feel like some of this season, and I haven't watched the most recent episode of Curb, some of it
Okay.
feels a little like out of touch that way. Like, he's sort of like hit a point where I'm like, I don't necessarily relate to everything that he's experiencing or complaining about.
Right, and you know, I think to that point, I think that's one of the reasons you have characters like J.B. Smoove's character, to not not that he skews younger necessarily, but he's such the no pun intended, he's the black to Larry's white. Like, he's the complete opposite in terms of culturally, and you know, I mean, they have a lot of similarities. Obviously, that's how they get along so much, but or that's how they get along so well. But he also can skew younger and bring Larry in to, you know, the vernacular of the younger generation, like lamping, for example, which has taken off like wildfire.
bringing it back to lamping.
Everybody is talking about lamping. But you know, stuff like that. So I think that's one of the advantages of that show is that,
Yeah,
you know, it's not,
having the
although
ensemble,
most of the friends
having the
are
ensemble
older.
cast definitely helps,
Yeah,
like
exactly. So,
span age ranges.
right. But I mean, yes, you're right. He's a multi-multi-millionaire many times over. But even in the show, which is based on his real life, and knowing he has all the luxuries and he needs not for anything or for money, he still, you know, in a lot of situations, he's still kind of a chiseler, and he doesn't want to spend the extra money. He's always looking for a deal,
A
that sort of
chiseler? Is
stuff.
that a
So
term?
I think so.
For like
He's
a
a
cheap
cheapskate.
person? I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Look it up. Do some research.
All right, I'll look up
But
chiseler.
okay, you can look it up. Good. So you know, I think the show tries to be relatable from that perspective. But yeah, I mean, everything he does, people your age or my age obviously can't relate to just the events that are happening in the life of a 72-year-old man versus someone our age. So, but nonetheless, he's been successful all these years in having a show where he is, you know, when the show first started, he was a man in his late 50s through into his 60s. And now, this season, 6 years after the 6-year layoff, he's now in his 70s. And he still has the same stupid problems that he'd had all along. And yet, it's been funny and to some extent relatable all along the way.
True. According to Urban Dictionary, a chiseler is one of the definitions, a person who tries to get the lowest possible price on everything and will go to extremes to save a few dollars or pennies. So,
How
kudos.
dare you question my knowledge of a term like
I
chiseler?
had never heard that before.
Oh, okay. Well,
The
I'm glad I could
top
introduce you to
definition
it.
has something to do with thievery.
Oh, okay.
Someone who
Yeah.
picks something apart a tiny bit at a time. So,
Yeah. Well, same idea, same concept.
guess, yeah.
Speaking of that, perfect, perfect segue. Good work. So your second topic here that you brought to the table today, dissection of every joke, every public appearance, ruining everything. What did you mean by that? What was
Well, I
your
just mean like when we watched the first episode of Curb and then talked about it on the show, like part of it's like I feel like because of podcasting and God damn it, what's the like live thing on Twitter now? Periscope. and Facebook Live and
Yeah.
all that kind of stuff, and Reddit
Right.
and all the millions, just internet basically. There's after shows for like Game of Thrones, like everything is sort of dissected and like broken down so much that like can you like sometimes like something like Curb, I mean even like 5 or 10 years ago, you really watched it as a whole season, and then you would talk to people about it. I mean, you might say, "Hey, did you see that episode last night? It was really
Sure.
funny." But now it's like people breaking down single jokes. It's just like you can't, nothing can be funny if you're overanalyzing every little bit of it.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the world of social media. Like you said, Twitter and to a much lesser extent, Facebook, things like that, where people are talking about that podcast, you're right. I think you should put After the Thrones, which I believe is the show that dissected Game of Thrones, to the side, because that actually helped me,
Yeah, that's
because there's so
beneficial
many
because I'm like, who the
fucking
fuck is
characters in
that?
that show
Yeah.
that those people know the books and they know the show, and I could watch an entire episode, be entertained by it, and then be like, all right, I really don't know who that person was or what was going on in this story, and they can break that down.
Yeah,
So
totally.
Game
Some
of
of that,
Thrones is it.
yeah, that was like an example of a good version of that. But
I agree.
I didn't watch the, and we'll talk about Stranger Things later, but you know, they had an after show for Stranger Things
Right.
this season. I didn't
On
watch any of them,
Netflix.
but
Yeah.
I don't know if that was helpful or not. I don't feel like that show's that complicated. I'm sure there's some subtle stuff that I missed, but I don't really need an after show for like every series.
Right.
Just like
So, but I,
breaking
go
down
ahead.
like every scene, like
Yeah.
it can get a little over the top and kind of make things less enjoyable if you're like constantly overanalyzing, especially like in a comedy show. Comedy like
Right.
doesn't beg to be overanalyzed a lot of times, like,
No,
and
not
Twitter
at
is
all.
like the worst at this. Like people get called
Yes.
out for like certain jokes or something. It's like I
Well,
don't know.
so
I'm
again,
of two schools of thought. Part of me is like the Holocaust thing, like this is clearly like something he shouldn't have done, but I don't know how much leash you should really give comedians and performers to sort of like if you constrain it too much, you're never going to have anything interesting to listen to.
Right. Well, and the attitude of most comics will be, well, fuck you. If you didn't
Yeah.
like it and you're talking about it, that actually helps me. That's exactly what I wanted. So they'll go even further in that direction.
Sure. I mean, until like people start leaving them, you know what I mean? Like till it's like so
Sure.
much where like enough of your audience is like, yeah, I'm tired of this, and your extreme out there stuff that you're sort of pushing the limits is
Too
just for
much.
the sake of extreme, and it's not funny anymore.
Yeah, shock comedy.
Yeah.
That old gag. I had several points and I've forgotten both of them.
Sorry.
But no, it's fine. But yeah, I mean again the Twitter sphere, if that's an officially coined term now, it's everyone can hide behind their whatever it's called. This shows you how much I'm on Twitter. Their icon, their screen name, whatever. Their Twitter personality, and they can say whatever they want, and they can take the jab and then back into the corner again, and then come out when they want to and take the jab back into the
Sure.
corner. And that's something that wasn't around even 5 years ago, let alone 10 or 15 years ago.
Certainly not to the same extent, yeah.
Nowhere near as prevalent. So, but yeah, I agree. The dissection of comedy shows is it's pointless. The only place where it makes sense is those sorts of shows or those sorts of venues, I guess, if we want to call Twitter and Facebook a venue, bring up a joke that you may have missed. Like you can go back
Sure.
and rewatch and go, oh yeah, that is funny. But I agree. Like, and yeah, sure, you and I are guilty of it, dissecting an episode kind of bit by bit, isn't necessarily helpful. Now, granted, we're not dissecting it and talking about the blocking of the scene and the
Yeah.
pace of the joke. We're just kind of talking about what we thought
It
was
land or
funny.
not? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we're doing it in a more positive way, at least. And we certainly don't have
I like to
entire
think
30 to
so.
45 minute segments dedicated to it. We save that for Blazers basketball. But coming up soon, I'll be napping. But that's It's just out there. I mean, again, the only ones I watch, and I didn't watch it this season, the After the Throne stuff. I watched it last season. The only one that I do watch is Talking Dead after Walking Dead. I don't think you watch that show, but
No.
and Talking Dead,
I've heard it's
again,
terrible,
same thing.
so.
I'm not gonna. What's that?
I've heard that show is kind of terrible, but. Or has
It's. I
gotten
think it jumped the
progressively
shark. It's,
worse.
yeah, this season's pretty good so far, but it. Whatever. Anyway, but Talking Dead is an hour-long show hosted by Chris Hardwick, who I like.
That's the
But
Nerdist guy.
it's, yeah, it's the Nerdist guy. But it's not like it breaks down what happened. I mean, it does have some of that conversation. The interesting thing to me is they'll have on, it's Chris Hardwick and normally one or two, sometimes three other guests, and usually one of the three guests is one of the actors from the show. And so it gets into like some of that behind the scenes stuff, and
Does he ever
sometimes they'll
have
have on
Jerry
producers.
McCarthy on?
No, they do not reenact Singled Out. Nor is Carmen Electra ever made it to the couch. But he'll have on, other actors and actresses who are just, fanboys or fangirls of the show, and it's interesting to hear their perspective. And there's always, kind of fun stuff. They'll do a quiz and audience questions. So again, it's an extra hour of mindless entertainment.
Sure. Just really, it's
So
not so much a
again,
recapping or examination. It's just
no.
kind of like
No.
more
Not at all.
a
And
lighter
again, you
take
don't.
that extends
Yeah.
the entertainment of the show.
Exactly. And you don't need it like you would in Game of Thrones. And it doesn't ruin it like it would on some other show where they're dissecting everything. It's just kind of. Yeah. It just makes a 1 hour experience a 2 hour experience on Sunday nights. So from that perspective, it's good. But again, circling all the way back, is that dissection ruining everything? I think the real answer to that topic or that question is, if you allow it to ruin everything, if you follow
Sure.
all those venues and all those avenues to over dissect something, then yeah, it possibly could. But it's in the, it's up to you, the consumer of that information and of that entertainment, on whether or not you allow it to ruin things for you. And the best parallel I can give to that is, I'll watch a video on YouTube, for example. And when I'm done watching it, I'm done watching it. I know people that'll watch a video, even if it's a 2 or 3 minute video, and there's like 120 comments, and they'll read all the comments. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I could give two shits about what someone else says about a video I just watched. Like, I never spend any time reading the comments
YouTube comments are the
of
worst.
any vlogger or whatever. And similar, a little different, but similar thing on Facebook too. If there's, a public post that's been viewed, 10,000 times because it's some celebrity or whatever, and then there's 500 posts or comments rather, with replies within comments, like it gets out of control. And people that
Oh yeah,
really focus in on
Facebook
that,
definitely.
I think they're getting lost in the minutia. It's like, just read the post or even the headline and then move on. Like, that's Facebook is built for you to do that.
Yeah,
It's
I
actually,
mean,
that's the algorithm now, is to like have you scroll through and not pay that close
the
attention.
Facebook one is interesting because, like, especially if it's like a controversial topic, people get on there and argue. I'm like, who, like, you guys are not. I mean, I did some of this today about like gun violence, just arguing with like friends of friends
Right.
who are pro guns, and I was like, no, you're.
Right.
And then I'm like, they don't give a shit. Like, they're not gonna listen to me. They're
And that's the
morons
thing. I
in the
mean,
South.
obviously, in the past
Sorry, Southern
year
listeners.
plus,
You're not all
shout out to the
morons. I
Southern
mean,
listeners by
we live,
Tyler.
grew up in the South, so.
Right. But yeah, I mean, during the whole election and since the election, with, a number of things that have gone on, and certainly we could talk about the Houston situation. That was terribly, or not Houston, it was just outside San Antonio, but we don't need to. But anyway, but yeah, it's like someone will post something, and you're right. I have friends that are on either extreme, the far right or the far left, and they'll post something, and then people clearly that think differently will just, without actually yelling, they'll yell in response. And occasionally you'll get people that'll put something of value and put something of worth in there as a reply. But again, it's like, why am I bothering reading? I know where these people stand on this issue. Why am I going to read to confirm that, yes, they fall very farly on, far on this side, and this person disagrees with them because they fall very far on the other side? It's a waste of time. I try not to get involved with that. And 99% of the time, I'm able to stay out of that because, again, I so again, circling back, I don't allow that to ruin my experience of Facebook or anything else. I just ignore it when I see what direction it's going.
Yeah, I think it's harder for some people because they're like, "No, I have to change your mind, or
Change people,
I have to
exactly.
get my point across," and then the other side is thinking the same thing, and so they just keep saying the
They
same
go back and
post back and
forth.
forth, back and forth, and just
Yeah,
getting
I mean,
pissed off.
in the lifespan of Facebook, which has essentially been what, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that. I'll let you blow your nose here. How many times have you actually changed someone's mind? And this is general you. I'm not asking you this exact question, but have you written something that was so compelling that this person who was very much pro this thing that you were very anti suddenly switched over to the anti side? Again, I'm not saying that there's zero worth in putting your opinions out there and saying things of value, but if you're saying it and essentially just yelling it in hopes that it will change someone's mind, it's probably not going to happen. You need to have, good discussions and, positive discussions where we're listening to both sides,
Yeah. Good
and
luck.
it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen on social media.
I
It
mean,
never
a
has,
lot
and
of that stuff,
I think it never will.
I don't know if it really happens even in face-to-face conversation. Especially
Also
on, I
true.
mean, maybe on some of the more like moderate issues or whatever, but the more
Right.
extreme belief things, I think are just hard. It's hard to sway people.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think a lot of people waste a lot of energy doing that. And, I feel bad for those people. I'm thankful I'm not one of those people. But
I mean, I think I could probably convince some people that Styx is fun to listen to, but maybe not.
yeah, not me.
I think I could convince you.
Don't think so. I mean, there are a couple Styx songs I guess I like, but anyway.
Guilty
All
pleasure.
right. Yeah, guilty pleasure. Let's hop over the basketball stuff for a second because you mentioned it earlier, so let's just knock it out of the park. Stranger Things 2, I just finished literally 40 minutes ago with episode 9, which was the final episode of season 2,
No, you didn't
which.
watch episode 10? I'm just fucking with you in episode 9.
Man, this podcast is killing
Be
it.
like, the
Which,
show's great, but Todd annoys the shit out of me.
but as season one did, ended with a cliffhanger, season two, in a little bit of a lesser way,
Should say,
ended with a
spoiler
cliffhanger as
alert, we're going
well.
to talk about the show, so.
Yeah, good point. Spoiler alert, turn this off for the next, well, just stop listening forever, let's be honest. If you haven't watched all Stranger Things 2, we will be revealing some content from the second season here. But again, I mean, everyone was essentially happy. Will appears to be healthy.
Man, do
He appears to have gotten rid
you
of,
think Will got a raise for season two?
he should have. He,
A lot more action for Will in season two.
well, I mean, he was fucking missing season
I
one,
know,
so
that's
what
what
do
I'm
you expect
saying.
he's
Like,
going
he
to do?
basically was just looked scared. Although that's pretty much his
No, I.
full-time role is just like look terrified all the time.
Right, or be really cold or really hot.
Although he was a
I will
little
say,
possessed this season.
it was very, yeah, especially this last episode, very much had an Exorcist feel to it. I mean, literally tied down to the bed. I was just waiting for the head to spin around scene. But first of all, I agree. Mike was definitely the, except for 11, Mike was definitely the star of season one in terms of the small kids and the roles they
Yeah, Mike
played.
had a pretty
But
muted
yeah,
role in season two.
he really did because he was longing for L. And L was missing for most, I mean, not missing, but L was not in the picture for a lot of season
Yeah,
two.
I could have
And
done
so
without the sort of romance between the two of them.
that was a little weird. I think
It's
they're a little
like,
young
eh.
to have the,
I mean, it
well,
wasn't like so over the top that it bothered me, but like
no.
I didn't care about that part at all.
I think we were supposed to think all along that it was just that deep friendship bond that he was missing, while also knowing it was kind of a yearning in his loins. But
Yeah.
again, they're like 11. Like, it's
Yeah.
just weird.
I mean, it's clearly like a coming of age time for them, so
Of course.
they're
I mean, 84, that was a hell of a year, you know.
Yeah. I enjoyed
I mean,
84.
I related to the show. I can imagine you must have related a lot more because they're like 2 years off from your actual life, like the timeline of the life that you led. Not that we live in small town Indiana,
Yeah, I
but
guess
still.
it's true. I feel like they're a lot older than I was at that age, but I guess they're
Well,
not.
I won't disagree with that.
No, but I mean, I was what, 8 in 84?
Yeah, in 84, you were 8, yeah.
And they're 11, so it's just like it's not a big age difference, but it's a huge age difference as far as like
Yeah.
what you remember and what you experience. I was
That's a
hardcore into
valid
some
point.
Star Wars though at that time, so
There you go.
and riding my
Very
bike
relatable.
probably.
Yes. A couple other points I wanted to get out before I forgot them. First of all, episode 7, which was L on the Run in Chicago, I could have done without. I understand it was probably just to do the backstory of L's
Yeah.
quote unquote sister, perhaps for season 3. I don't know. But that whole episode, the tone,
I think
the feel of it
generally
was just.
that episode was sort of
Ugh.
like panned by a lot of fans. Like it was sort of like the
Yeah,
weird
terrible.
episode of every season of Breaking Bad. They always had one episode where they're like
Right.
making meth for like 45 minutes to like Crystal Blue Persuasion or something. They always had like one sort of outlier episode that didn't really drive the plot forward very far. And that one, I
Sure.
felt like they could have like had her sister tell her to try really hard to improve her skills. They could have wrapped that up in about 5 minutes
Yeah.
instead of
Instead,
spending
they.
35
Yeah.
or whatever they did on it.
And they went to the guy's house, who seemed like a guy in his 60s, and there were two young kids.
What's
Like, it
that
just.
guy
There were
been
so
on?
many.
That guy, I know that actor from something. I can't.
I don't know. I recognized him as well. And I meant to look it up on IMDb, and I didn't. So, I don't know. But he's definitely one of those that guy kind of actors where you see him as the fat guy in
I
shows
feel
here or
like he was
there.
in Lost, but I think that's not it. It was something like that, though.
I don't think it was Lost. I feel like it was more recent than that. That's what I was thinking. But so that was one thing I wanted to bring up. The other thing I wanted to point out, I thought they did a much better job this season of incorporating the music of the time period. I mean, I know that the band that does the theme song, still did the theme song, and they still have that kind of ethereal sound as background music. But several, if not multiple times in every episode, there was some 80s hit, and I was like, yes. I love this shit. And I feel like they did that a lot more in season 2 than season 1. And I can say that with some level of confidence because I binge watched season 1 through the course of last week and then watched all of season 2, except tonight with episode 9. Watched the first 8 episodes of season 2 over the weekend. So it's all very current in my mind. But I don't know, that stood out to me.
Yeah, I didn't notice that as much, but I mean, all the nostalgia stuff is pretty on point, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
they
they definitely
clearly
put time into
playing
that.
to that. A friend of mine posted on Facebook, Sean Austin and Winona Ryder are making out on my TV right now. What the hell is going on? But
True.
I was pretty bummed to see him get got, but he was a good
Yeah.
addition to the cast this season, I thought.
Oh yeah, Bob the Brain was. I mean, he stole that one episode where he ultimately ate it. Yeah, he had a big role for sure.
I think we talked about this on the non-record, the one, the podcast that didn't record, but Bob
The
has
show that never
put on
happened.
some serious weight since like the Goonies, or even later than that.
Well, I mean, obviously from the fucking Goonies. My God, he was 16 or if that
He's
back in the
probably like
Goonies. Probably
12.
not even.
It's probably the age of the
Yeah.
characters on Stranger Things. Maybe
That was
13.
30 something years ago. So, But I mean, he's been heading that way for a while, with Rudy and
Yeah.
Toy Soldiers. He was a little chunky.
Was he
I know you probably
chunky
don't
in
remember
Toy
Toy Soldiers,
Soldiers?
but such a great
It's
fucking
been a
movie.
while
Very
since I've seen
underrated.
that, but
Yeah, I haven't watched that in a while
I
either, but
can't
I
imagine
need
that
to.
holds up
One,
very well.
probably not. Technology's a little different back then, but still a great flick. But yeah, I mean, but you're right. He's chunked up because it was only, what, 15 years ago? Maybe that he was in the Lord of the Rings movies, and then
Holy shit, was that 15 years ago?
I think it's 2001 the first one came
Jesus.
out, so 15 plus. But
Yeah,
then I
he
think he
looks a
also had
lot
a couple cameos in The
stockier
Hobbit
than
where he put on some weight.
Samwise. Is that who he was?
So
Yeah,
anyway,
he was a good
that's our.
addition to the show, for sure.
That's the Sean Astin update. What was I going to say? Oh, the other comment I had on Will's performance, I thought the scene where, and I think it was episode 8, they had gone to that wormhole or whatever that Hopper had gone down in the first time in that field, and they brought Will, and he was just laying there on the ground, and then it was the first time that like you really realized that he was kind of possessed by the Demogorgon or whatever. And he just like tensed up and opened his mouth and opened his eyes and kind of freaked out, which again, as you mentioned correctly, commenting correctly, he does many times throughout the season. But
That's one
like
of his
it was
two
like,
jobs.
yeah, it really is. But it was like the final scene of that episode. Maybe it was episode 6. I don't know. It doesn't matter what episode it was.
Really doesn't.
But like, again, I know we're joking about what he had to do, but like that was like a powerful moment. Like I was like, wow. And I don't know if it was because it was shocking, because the show from basically the beginning of season one up to that point had really been kind of exclusively sci-fi fantasy. And like right then, I was like, all right, this is turning into a horror show all of a sudden,
Yeah, I mean, it
or a
always
horror
had a
genre.
little bit of like a thriller aspect to it.
Right,
It definitely
but like
skewed a
that.
little more horror this season.
Yeah,
The
definitely.
good horror, not like
Especially in
super
this last
blood and
episode.
guts, but
Yeah, good stuff. But I don't know. So again, I'm sure he got a pay raise, but I thought he did an excellent job. And Winona Ryder in rewatching season one, she did a great job too. I mean,
yeah, she's
you know,
solid for sure.
for all the jokes people make about her past as being, you know, kind of a teen actress who was always playing those sorts of parts, Edward Scissorhands comes to mind. The fact that she kind of reprised that role, or repri not reprised that, reprised that role, but played a role that took place in the same time frame that she kind of came of age, I thought was interesting. Obviously, she's playing a mother, not a teenager at that point. But yeah, she did a great job. I don't follow the Emmys or the Oscars or Grammys or any of that crap. But I don't know if she was nominated last
Probably won't
year,
get a
but
Grammy.
probably won't get a Grammy. Maybe a Tony, perhaps. But I feel like when the
Paying a
Emmys come
child
around, I know which
attention.
one it was, you fuckhead. I was just saying I don't follow any of them. When the Emmys come around, I feel like she should at least be on the ballot. I think she did have, you know, had that good of a performance.
Yeah, she was solid for sure. Her character's interesting though, because it's like, yeah, Will's mom's a little crazy. She like puts lights up all over the house and paints on the walls, and now she just has like
Yeah.
crayon drawings.
Right. Yeah, that was intense.
Like,
How they figured that shit out, I have no idea.
a
But
coworker of mine was like, "How they fix up their house so quick?" Like from season one, where they're like busting through the
I thought
walls.
that too. I thought that too. I think it was Sean Astin's first scene in season two. She's going to answer the door and let him in, and I was like, oh my God. Like, yeah, fresh coat of paint, like the walls are all fine. Same shit house furniture and everything,
I
but
guess Hopper came by and helped him out a little.
yeah. Hopper, what I don't know the actor's real name. He was a great character as well. I think
Yeah,
the two of
I
them
like
really
him a
carried
lot.
the show.
I mean, you're
Yeah.
supposed to, but
Right.
he definitely plays that role well.
Right. The kind of, you know, the bad backstory and the loss of his daughter, and he's clearly like a troubled character,
Yeah,
but still
internal
remained likable the whole time.
turmoil.
Yeah.
Did you what
That's
do you
exactly
think
what
of
was
the
happening.
addition of Max and her sort of dirtbag half brother?
The dirtbag boyfriend, I mean, that hair was just hilarious.
So I was like, is that his real hair? Or is that like, does he have
Jamie and I talked about it. There's no
extensions?
way that's really. It's got to be a
He
wig.
has like,
It has to be.
because it's like sort of curly on top, that part, and then there's just like weird, like not really dreads, but just like stringy pieces of hair kind of hanging off of his
Yeah,
very,
it's pretty
very
sloppy.
strange look.
It's
But as far
definitely
as being
sloppy,
like a
but
dirtbag, that guy was like pretty excellent.
he was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Also, Steve had, you know,
Yeah.
who was sort of a dirtbag in season one, like redeemed himself in season two. He was kind of a hero of season two, I would say, almost.
Oh, 100%. He had a bigger role as well, but yeah, I mean, he fucking figured that bat shit out. I mean, that was his weapon of choice, and he liked to wield it, and take out demo dogs whenever possible. So,
I think the
yeah.
lesson is if
No,
you
I
break
agree.
up with what's her face, you get better.
Nance?
Yeah, Nance. If Nance
Yeah.
dumps you, your lot improves.
There you go. Could be.
So there you go.
That's an Easter egg for those of you. Yeah.
One of the brothers
But overall,
was
I
dumped by some,
go
the
ahead.
Duffer, one of the Duffer brothers was dumped by a girl named Nance growing up.
Little insight there. Probably not true, but a
100%,
little
100%
insight there
not true. I mean, it might be,
from Todd.
but
He made it up and saw it on fake Wikipedia, so there you have it. But I mean, you got to give the Duffer Brothers credit. They're like it actually annoys me watching shows like this. I'm like, how, like, I don't know how you can just make the whole plot up from scratch. The whole, I don't know, the whole thing is just insane to me. It's similar to, actually, we talked about it moments ago. It's similar to when I watch something like Lord of the Rings, where, hell, I can't think of his name,
Tolkien.
the director.
Oh,
No, well, yeah, Tolkien, good
Peter
point. I'm
Jackson.
thinking more, yeah, Peter Jackson, that's right. But either one, Tolkien obviously originally, and Peter Jackson is taking the ideas. But
Tolkien
Peter Jackson
gets
had
some
to
credit for
visualize all of
it.
that. He gets a little credit. He did write it first. He had the original idea. But Peter Jackson to read those novels and then make it look like that
Yeah.
is just disgusting. But in a different way, Duffer Brothers, obviously, small town Indiana, that's not that hard to recreate. But to just, I don't know, this whole idea of the upside down and all that, like, I don't know, it pisses me off. It's like, why can't I, my brain just doesn't think to that level in terms of creativity. I like to think I'm a creative person,
I
but
mean, obviously they've borrowed heavily from like the D&D worlds. I mean, they're
of course.
80s culture, so I'm not trying to downplay what they've done. It's clearly better than anything I've ever done or probably will do, but I
100%.
don't think it's I don't think it's that like unrealistic to think that you could create something.
No, I mean, yeah, people do it all the time, but it's one of those things. As I'm watching shows like this, even at my advanced age, not advanced age, even at my age and the point I am in my career, my life, I'm like, I should just take a year off and do this. I feel like I could do this if I just focused and put my mind to it. Similar to something we talked about on the podcast that never was, our ability to become athletes, professional athletes in some sport. If we just taken time and done nothing but dedicate to that, could we have made it happen? I feel like I owe myself that shot to just take a year off. The problem is, I just fuck around for the first 4 or 5 months, and I'd be like, shit, now I only have 7 months left. Now I've really got to buckle down because I'm just a natural
Because
procrastinator.
it's
But
easy to watch Netflix for a good 8 hours a day if you didn't have anything else to
oh
do.
yeah, oh my God, I'd watch every documentary they had
I mean, I
eventually.
watched a good 2 hours of The Office tonight because there was nothing else on
Did you?
TV.
The Office is a great one to just pick up and watch. Actually, when I was at your house a month ago, I watched a couple
Yeah,
episodes.
we decided I just started watching like season six. I was like, I don't know, it's in the middle somewhere.
Right.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, still holds up. So to close out the Stranger Things 2 thing, season one, season two, what are your thoughts? Do you prefer one over the other? Are you looking forward to season three? I'm assuming there'll be a season
Yeah,
three.
I mean, I think they've said there's gonna be a season three. I'm not like super looking for. I'm not. It's not that I'm not looking forward to season three. I'm not like. I think they could end it now, and it'd be fine with me. Just
Yeah.
because I'm like, I'm a little worried that it's gonna be like, I've sort
It's
of
gonna jump
tread
shark.
over this area already. And like, what's? I mean, hopefully it'll be amazing. I don't know. They were both good. I feel like I like season one a little bit better, but season two was definitely good. I mean, Eleven's my favorite character, just because
Right.
she does cool shit. But I felt
Yeah.
like there was, yeah, it was interesting because season one, like, what's his name? Not Will, but his friend,
Mike.
Mike. Like, there's a lot more Mike in season one, which.
Yeah.
I actually like didn't miss him that much in season two. It was nice to spend some more time with the other two kids besides Will,
Right.
whose names I can't remember
Right.
either, but Dustin and
I can't either.
something. But yeah, it was good
Dustin would like
overall.
it, yes.
I mean, I like the parts I like too are more about like the sort of conspiracy of like harvesting these not harvesting but like harnessing the sort of supernatural powers of 11
Right.
and 8 apparently. So like I'd be more into seeing more backstory about what they were doing, that kind of stuff, like the experiments, that kind of thing. Not to watch them
Yeah.
get tortured, just to be like, what are they trying to do?
Right.
Like, what's the point of this?
Yeah, what was the real purpose? The genesis of the whole upside down, maybe. Investigate how that all began.
Yeah, I mean, it could be easily explained away as like, oh, they're trying to make military applications for these gifted people, but hopefully it's more interesting than that. It's sort of like we talked about Lost, just mentioned it briefly, like the whole like Dharma initiative and all that kind of stuff. Like that was the most interesting part of Lost to me, like all the kind of mystery stuff and the hatches and all that
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Which I think you probably agree. I think that eventually jumped the shark. Lost got, I think Lost was 8 or 9 seasons, and whatever the season one was that focused heavily on like the 1960s, where it was just a total time travel. I was like, that season almost had me give up on the show. It was so ridiculous, and just
Don't know, it didn't bother
I
me.
was
I
like,
love
we've left
Lost.
the characters. Like it was just silly
I
to
was like
me.
one of the people who didn't mind the ending, so.
I didn't mind the ending. I thought the ending was fine. I mean, that was one of the theories all along that people had, was that they were,
In
hang
purgatory
on,
or
spoiler alert,
whatever.
that they were dead from the get-go. So the show ended in 2005, so hopefully
Yeah,
you guys
if you want to
have.
watch it, you should have.
Yeah,
That'd be, man,
exactly.
I can't imagine like going through and watching all that. That'd be intense. Now, if you started it. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry you weren't saying
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
anything.
Well, no, your Skype thing slowed down.
No.
It threw me for a loop.
But that was another show that like speaking about like discussion online, like I followed a lot of sort of online theories and stuff through Lost because that was probably one of the first shows or one of the earlier ones that I remember where there's all sorts of like Easter eggs and backstory and stuff that like
Oh, yeah.
it was impossible to just catch in it like casual viewing of the show. You'd have to like, I mean, people had like wikis and screen caps of all the little minutiae of every scene on
Right.
the show trying to figure out what was going on, which is ultimately why I think people were disappointed in the ending, because they sort of set up this
A huge
expectation
thing,
that
yeah.
couldn't possibly be satisfied
Well,
with the
as you may or
premise
may
of the
not
show.
recall, I used to talk about it on my radio show. I think you called in once or twice back when I was doing my show on WSBF, and my friend Bowman was big into all those, the meanings of the different numbers and the
Yeah.
different symbols and all this. And I was like, that was a show, by the way, coming full circle to tonight's podcast. That was a show where an after show would have made sense because I was fucking lost, no pun intended,
Zing.
just with what Bowman was talking about,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, totally. That like Lost could definitely have used like 2 hours of after show for every 1 hour episode.
Right. And I think back then there were message boards and, websites and things of that sort, but that was early on in that level of fandom, as far as having those sorts of message boards and websites to those communities to talk about this sort of stuff. So I never got into it, but
Yeah,
Bowman
I wasn't
definitely did,
deep
and I
into it, but
imagine
I
you did.
definitely dabbled.
Right.
I dabbled in the
A little
fan
dabbling.
fiction, not fiction, but fan communities of Lost.
The fandom. Yes, of course. Okay. So, again, avoiding the basketball conversation,
We can
I wanted to get,
skip
and
that this
again,
week.
okay, let's skip that altogether so I can actually watch the game that you wanted to talk about. So, I wanted to get an update that most people won't even know what we're talking about because it was the show that never was. Or no, this was 2 weeks ago. So, any running update? Have you purchased shoes? Hang on, I lost you. I can't hear you. Is your cough button on?
Sorry, it is on.
There we go. God damn it. All
I
right.
was about to cough. Hold on.
Let's
Let me
try that
cough.
again.
Hold on a second.
So running update.
I
Oh,
looked
now he's
at
gonna cough
shoes,
again.
but I did not purchase. So I've taken the
God
step of
damn
browsing
it.
for shoes, but I've yet to purchase them.
Okay.
We had
So you're gonna wait till there's actually snow on the ground before you do this. Okay.
visitors from Portland this weekend, so I couldn't have done anything anyway.
Okay, I did see that. So do you have you do you said you did have a training plan, an online training plan that you'd seen that you were going to try to follow?
Yes. And
You could start at any
I'd have
time.
to find that again.
Oh.
I also have like a couple apps that have like built-in things. I mean,
Okay,
it
that's
wouldn't be
fine.
difficult to start other than
No,
getting
of
my
course
ass
not.
off the couch and doing it.
That, as
I've got
always,
plenty of
is.
excuses though, so I can drag this out for another
Yeah. 6 months.
months, yeah.
So yeah, just get the shoes and then start the program. I'm sure any app or any program you find is going to start out very small, like
Yeah.
less than 30 minutes for the first several weeks, and probably only have you actually running 4 to 5 days a week. Anything else I wouldn't trust, by the way. But it's not, from a time commitment perspective, it shouldn't be that difficult for you, as we've discussed.
Yeah. I just have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, well, 30 minutes more. And now that, now that the time has changed, there should be some daylight at that time if you wanted to get up,
Oh man.
I assume. I
It
don't
was
know.
dark on the way home today. That sucked. I mean, it
Yeah.
didn't really make that huge a difference on the way home because I was in my car, but just kind of a bummer.
Right. Definitely suck for me. Had the old lights on the bike. The old Huffy. No, I don't own a
Was
Huffy
about to say,
bike,
you
for
don't
those
have
of you
a
wondering
Huffy,
at home.
do you?
No, it's not a Huffy. Okay, well, I'm going to keep asking you every single week
Right.
until you actually do something, just to keep you honest about that. All right, and then what are we up to now? 52 minutes. All right, so this will be the last topic. We will skip basketball completely. I can't believe we've done it. So I was having dinner. Jamie and I went over to Travis's house on Friday.
Oh,
The Davises were in town.
touchdown TD.
So, yeah, all the TDs, all three of them. Terry, Tim, and Travis were all there.
Whoa, triple T.
And their respective wives and children, whatever. Nice evening, good time. Hadn't seen them in a while. And one of the stories that I told while I was there was about my first and only experience getting a massage, which I don't know if I told you the story or not.
Maybe.
Have I told you the story? Okay, so the only one and only experience I ever had was here in Denver. I lived here a couple months and I had some lower back pain. And so I found this chiropractor, and I should have known he was a quack because just for coming by, like it was a whole package. It was like $125. You get a visit with a doctor, you get X-rays, and you get a 90-minute massage. That was all part of the package, and I was like, "Sounds good to
Ooh,
me."
90-minute massage, that
So,
sounds good.
well, maybe. So, I go there. I get the conversation with the doctor, and get the X-rays, and then I set up my massage for a few weeks later. So it was early
It wasn't
December.
all in
I
one.
rode my... No. You set it up for sometime in the future. So early December, and I ride there straight from work, park my bike outside, go inside, and the lady brings me back to the room, very small room with just a table and a chair in the corner. And of course there's, Enya playing on the stereo or whatever, and there's incense burning. It's very Colorado. And so, she walks in, or we walk in the room. She says, just general introduction. And I said, "Yeah, this is my first time ever getting a massage." "Oh, great! You're gonna love it." I said, "Okay." So, she tells me, because I'm wearing full. I mean, I got sweatpants. I got a jacket on. My helmet I'd taken off, of course, at this point. But again, I was literally riding my bike. I rode my bike literally to this thing. So she says, "All right, I'll give you a couple minutes. Just, disrobe to the point you're comfortable with, and then I'll come back in." And I said, "Okay." So she leaves the room, closes the door. I, strip down to my underwear, and then I just sit in the chair, and I have my phone out, and I'm just kind of checking emails or whatever. And, she's gone 3 or 4 minutes, whatever, and then she comes up and knocks on the door. And, "Mr. Hoffman, are you ready?" I said, "Yeah, come on in." And she walks in. She's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Go ahead, get underneath the sheet. And I was like, oh, okay. So she closes the door again. I'm like, I guess I should get under the sheet here. And so I kind of crawl underneath the sheet. And then, a minute later, she knocks again. You ready? And I'm like, yeah, come on. And then we continue with the massage and everything's fine. No other details to the story. But the thing that I tell anyone I've told this story to, and everyone has the same reaction you're having now, is like, no one instructed me that I needed to get down in my underwear and get underneath the sheet. She didn't say that. I wasn't going to. And, assuming you've had a massage, yeah. There's multiple. It's like any bed in the wintertime. There's a sheet. There's maybe a flannel sheet. There's a comforter. Like, there's multiple levels and layers on this bed. It wasn't like there was one sheet. And she did not specifically tell me to get under. I'm not just going to hop up there. I know that's where I'm going to end up eventually. But how am I supposed to know that that's what she wanted me to do?
So she should have pointed that out to you. But now you know.
She definitely should have said that because, again, and that's why I pointed out earlier in the story, I specifically said I have never had a massage before. It was my first time. She should have said, all right, here's exactly what you need to do so that I don't walk in on you sitting there in your underwear surfing through your phone.
Better than you being completely naked?
That's the other inside joke to this is what if the disrobing to a comfort level for me was completely naked?
Well, that's what most people do. Then we would have really had an interesting conversation. You get naked and you just get under the sheet. And then they're very good at
it. And I guess that makes sense.
Just covering
your
privates with the sheet.
I don't know. It was just very weird. So I assume you've had a massage before?
Yeah, multiple massages. My first one, I also was like, the guy's like, all right, get it. It was a guy. My wife set it up for me, and I was like, I don't want a guy masseuse. She's like, okay. We go there.
Guy.
This guy, I mean, he wasn't like, whatever, he's just a dude. He's like, I'm going to be a masseuse. And I was like, fuck. But he's like, all right, get a... I think he told me, like, he's like, just get undressed and get under the sheet. I was like, I'm going to leave my underwear on. Is that all right? He's like, yeah, if you want to, that's fine. So I did. But
yeah, definitely.
After that one, I was like, it wasn't that big a deal. I was like, all right, I can do this. And after that, it's just been me and the sheet.
So all future massages, you've gone down to
yeah.
God-given clothing, which is nothing.
Yep.
Interesting.
It's not that...
How much of an advantage does it give you to take your boxers or your underwear off? Like, how much of an advantage does that give the masseuse?
Well, I don't know if your massage does this, but they usually kind of work your upper thigh, like your butt cheek, which is easier to do if you're not wearing underwear.
Yeah, she got right up in there.
Especially if they're putting, like, the
I suppose.
Oil or whatever. You don't get greasy drawers from them rubbing your ass.
Yeah, I wasn't too concerned about that at that point. I was just uncomfortable from jumping.
I have to say, Ann and I got massages in Mexico one time. And
The couple's massage.
No,
nah,
it wasn't a couple's massage. We were there. It was like a work... trip, not a work trip, but like a reward for her company, and it was like an all-inclusive resort, and we had been out by the pool and like gotten not a terrible sunburn, but enough of a sunburn for it to be painful, and I got a hot rock massage, and I told the lady, I mean, she didn't speak any English or not much, I was like, I got some sunburn, so like, be gentle, and
be
she
careful.
Just tore the shit out of my back and then put hot rocks on it. Fucking killed. I was like,
sunburns.
Yeah, those are super painful. So I don't recommend getting a massage if you've had a sunburn. It's not, not a...
Make sure it's day one of the vacation.
Yeah, not an enjoyable experience, but... I'm down with a massage. It feels good. I haven't had one in a while, but I would partake.
Well, it's... And so that's, I guess, the postscript to my story is that it wasn't – I mean, it felt good, I guess, and I felt relaxed. But as someone who clearly is based on the details of the story, as someone who bikes to and from work and runs most days as well, like by the next day after exercise event, two or three of that day, I was just back to being kind of tight and not – like it didn't – I don't know. I don't know that I expect it to last 2 weeks or anything either. The good feelings of the massage, but I hear about these people that are, getting massages 2-3 times a month, dropping 75, 100 bucks at a time, and I'm like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't have the same impact for me, I suppose.
Yeah, if you had it 2 or 3 times a month, you might, I mean, probably get hooked on it. It's just like a relaxing thing. I mean, yeah. I think it's fairly common, or sometimes people can fall asleep in them too. So, like, I know Anne's falling asleep. I'm like, it's kind of a waste of money if you fall asleep during massage.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, I don't remember the specifics of this too much, but I remember when she was doing up by the neck area, to your point about, you know, beating the shit out of me, I felt like she was really in there with the hands, and, like, you know, I got, like, the hair on the back of your neck, and she just had no regard for that, just ripping them out, ripping those individual hairs out of their follicles. I don't know. It was not a pleasant experience.
You can tell
experience.
Them if they're,
of course,
doing too much pressure or too little.
And she asked multiple times. I'm not blaming this woman at all. I didn't know what to say. You know, do you want a heart? I don't know. I didn't want to say, yeah, super soft, because then I get no benefit from it. I didn't know what to do.
If it starts to hurt, you can say, I can go a little easier. Like, they don't care.
I know. And a couple times I even, like, winced, and I think she was like, oh, is that too hard? And I was like, ah, maybe. Might want to slow down there.
You could stop pulling my hair. That'd be better.
Yeah. Cool off a little, Helga. Let's take a step back. So, anyway. All right. So that's my massage experience.
That's a good one.
All right. It's a classic. Everybody loves that story.
I picture you reading a newspaper, just like looking at the funny pages, reading Garfield and...
Yeah.
Sitting in your underwear.
That Beetle Bailey, what's he up to this week? Son of a bitch. He's a funny guy. No, I'm pretty sure I was on my phone, but I definitely something I that she was not expecting. I guarantee you.
Like
that,
when she walked to in, walk she's in like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Go ahead and get up, get out of the shit. And just, you know, like she'd seen a ghost, she was out of that room as quickly as humanly possible, which made me laugh out loud. But anyway. All right, we're up near the hour mark. Actually, I think we're over the hour mark, so we'll call it a pod at that point.
Right, I think I actually recorded this time, so.
Hey, let's hope so.
It'll be a plus.
Yeah. No one knows, but last week's episode, we recorded. Talked about a lot of stuff. I talked shit about Marc Maron. We talked about Halloween. Talked about leg injuries and pro sports. All kinds of fun stuff, and no one's ever going to hear it because it didn't record on your side. You can hear my side, but that would be very awkward.
Super awesome.
Yeah, not entertaining for most people. So, all right. Well, rest your voice. You know, as a podcast professional, you need to make sure you speak.
Tea or something.
Yeah.
Get the pipes back.
Some sleepy time tea at this point. Yeah, get the pipes back. Some
back
honey.
Back to beating the Velvet maybe. Fog. Half of the Hoffman Bros.
Wow, the Velvet Fog.
That's Mel Torme's. Alias.
I know. Huh? I'm familiar with that.
I don't know if
someone's
you know.
Thinking highly of himself. I know Mel Torme. Okay. Well, have a Ludens and feel better. And until next week.
Peace.
See ya!